feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. In our study through the book of Judges, we have recently spent several programs looking at the life of Samson. This is a man who had such great potential, but also had significant weaknesses. As Pastor John has told us, Samson was a he-man with a she-weakness. He yielded to lustful temptations throughout his life, and this led to significant repercussions. Today, we begin our last study of the story of Samson as we go verse by verse through Judges chapter 16. This contains the famous story of Delilah. Let's now join Pastor John for today's study and see what we can learn from Samson's life.
Well, the book of Judges chapter 16, hopefully you're there, as we come to the last act in the drama of Samson's story. And as you already know, if you were here on Sunday, in the final act of this drama, he brings the house down. Literally. That's not just saying metaphorically. He truly, in this drama, brings the house down as he pulls those pillars down in the temple of the Philistines and causes there to be greater damage to the enemy in his death than he did all through his life. Well, let's read and see how this drama ends and how the story unfolds. Samson, verse 1, now is going to Gaza. Gaza, of course, is well known to most of you today because you hear about the Gaza Strip, that area in the southern corner of Israel on the western side that borders the Mediterranean Sea that has been turned over to the so-called Palestinian people, the Gaza Strip. That is this area. It was Philistine country in Samson's day. It's Philistine territory in our day. So he goes down there to Gaza, which was a Philistine city, and it was a seaport. And it was a place where, because it was pagan and on the beach, well, you know how pagan places on the beach can be. It was a party place. He's going down to a spot where there's lots and lots of parties, immorality, paganism, hedonism, and all the rest. He is doing so to his own peril. He's exposing himself unnecessarily to temptations to which he has a vulnerability. As I've said before, Samson is the he-man with a, what weakness? A she-weakness. He ought to stay away from the beach city of Gaza, believe you me. But here he goes. He goes to Gaza, and guess what? He saw a harlot there. I'm sure he was shocked to find out that there would be a harlot in Gaza. But there she was. And he went in unto her. Oh, Samson, come on. Well, it was told the Gazites, those at Gaza, Samson has come here. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. Were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it's day, we shall kill him. He's come to our city. He's fallen into our snare. He's with one of our honeys. And now, when he gets up in the morning, we're going to pounce on him and deal with him once and for all. Well, Samson, he laid there till midnight, verse 3, and he arose up at midnight. And he took a stroll, and he sensed something was up. He realized the doors of the gate were locked. He knew that he was locked in. So he just goes and takes these gates and the two posts and went off with them, bar and all, put them upon his shoulders and carried them to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. He wakes up in the middle of the night, maybe he's thirsty or whatever, and he realizes, hey, they've locked me in. So he just takes those gates and the bars there too, puts them on his shoulders and begins walking towards Hebron. Now, if he went all the way to Hebron, if this means that he went to a hill that is there right at Hebron, which some think he did, it was a 40-mile walk. There is another hill that could very well be the hill that he walked to that is in the direction of Hebron, 4.5 miles away from this place in Gaza. That is probably where he walked, although he may have gone all the way to Hebron. But either way, whether it's 4.5 miles or 40 miles, you need to know they estimate the gates weighed 2.5 tons. Now, think about that, men. You know, what do you squat in the gym? What can you squat with the weight rack? A couple hundred pounds, 300, 400, what? Think of 2.5 tons on your shoulder. Walking for at least 4.5 miles and perhaps 40 miles. I mean, we're talking, this guy is strong. He just walks with the gates right outside of the city. Just walked off, dumped them off somewhere. Hey, where'd our gates go? You know, in the morning they must have wondered. Amazing. Well, it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman. Oh no, Samson. In the valley of Sorek. Now, Sorek is a border region. It's a border town. And you know about border towns. If you're older, you might remember how Tijuana used to be. Border towns have a reputation too. I mean, this guy doesn't miss a spot. He goes to the beach, you know, Gaza, the pagan heathen beach city. Then he makes his way to a border town here in Sorek. And he met a gal whose name was Delilah. Now, the word Delilah is interesting. Delal in the Hebrew means to weaken or to impoverish. So here he meets this gal in a border town. He's on the edge, if you would. A lot of times people say to you, they'll say to me, well, how far can I go without crossing over the line? Whatever issue they're talking about, perhaps some dating matter. You know, some romantic issue, some thing with alcohol or whatever it might be. How far can I go without crossing? Where's the border, you know? Hey, that's a recipe for disaster. The thing is not to see how close you can get to the border. It's to see how far away you can stay from the border, from the boundary, because there's danger there. It's the place where you are weakened and impoverished, Delal or Delilah. Oh, my. Hi, big boy. My name is to weaken or to impoverish. Oh, nice to meet you, honey. Wow. Let's have a relationship, shall we? So, anyway, he has an eye for her. My name is weaken and impoverish. Let's spend some time. Oh, sure. So he became enamored with her. He was attracted to her. And the Lord's, verse 5, the leaders of the Philistines came unto her and said, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Here's what you're to do, Delilah. Hey, find out what the secret of his strength might be. We'll reward you handsomely with 1,100 pieces of silver. That was a princely sum, believe you me. And it's interesting here, because they don't say, man, we know the secret of his strength. Look at those massive muscles, those bulging biceps, those terrific triceps. Look at the powerful thighs on that guy. And that's why I suggest to you that the source of Samson's strength was not the body that God gave him. I really do believe that he was, as I said previously, more like the before picture than the after picture in those bodybuilding advertisements, in those Charles Atlas advertisements that you see in magazines occasionally. The before and the after, the before guy real skinny, the after guy real muscly. I suggest to you that Samson looked more like the before guy all the way through, because they couldn't figure out what is the source of this guy's strength. And they're asking Delilah, find out what the deal is. How could he be so strong? How could he do the exploits that he does? What is the source of his strength? Now, we saw earlier, the source of his strength was the Holy Spirit. We saw how it said earlier, the Holy Spirit came upon him. The power of the Spirit came upon him and gave great strength to him. So they don't understand that. They're saying, what's the secret of his strength, man? Find out. Delilah, she says, great. Her name means to weaken, to impoverish. She says, great. And she's going for the money. So she says to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth? What's the deal with you? And wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee? I mean, Samson. Hello. Come on. Doi. Don't you understand? Don't you see? She's saying, tell me, what is the secret of your strength that you might be afflicted, bound up? Well, he says, if they bind me with 7 green withes or 7 bowstrings that were never dried, I shall be weak and like any other guy. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 bowstrings which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now, verse 9, there were men, Philistines, lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, in the other room. And she said unto thee, the Philistines be upon thee, Sammy. And he stood up, and he broke those bowstrings as a thread of tow is broken when it is touched with fire. He just, pow, 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 those things were just snapped off. Man, they were no problem for him. His strength was not known. That is, they didn't understand. Delilah said, you have mocked me and told me lies. I asked you what your secret was, and you told me if I bound you with bowstrings, you could be bound up and afflicted, and you tricked me. You mocked me. Now I pray thee, tell me wherein thou mightest be bound. I mean, is this an amazing story? Come on now. Like, I wonder how I got bound up last time. Samson. Oh my. He said, well, I'll tell you. If they bind me, verse 11, with new ropes, not bowstrings, but thicker ropes, newer ropes that were never occupied, never used previously, I shall be weak and be like any other guy, you see. So, verse 12, Delilah took new ropes while he was schnoozing away and bound him that day and said, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber. And he broke them from off his arms like a thread. Pop, 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 pop. No problema for Samson. And Delilah said unto him, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said, well, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web. Samson, careful. He's getting perilously close. Samson, careful. Now you're dealing with the issue, the hair that speaks of your consecration, the vow that you've made as a Nazarite to be one who is given to dedication in serving God. Not to ever cut his hair, but what does he do? He's playing here with her. Well, if you weave my hair in a web, I'll be like any other guy. So she fastened it with a pin. Evidently, he was schnoozing away again. And she wakes him up. The Philistines are upon thee, Samson. He wakened out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web too. Just stands up and carries the whole loom off that was still attached to his hair, evidently. Samson. Now, Samson may have thought, I'm pretty clever. I mean, this lady here, Delilah, she thinks she's getting to me, but I have fought her off. You know, hey, I haven't given in. I haven't succumbed. I haven't broke down. I'm doing good. Careful. Because that can happen to me, that can happen to you, that can happen to us too. We can say, well, you know, I haven't really been honest with those that ask me for the reason that I am the way that I am. I've kind of hinted at it. I've kind of sort of, I don't know, but I haven't really come out and said, the reason I'm not going to go to the party you're inviting me to, that kegger on Friday night, is because I'm a born-again Christian. I got baptized out of the fellowship a couple of years ago. Jesus Christ has changed my life. He's taken away the desire for drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. And I want to keep my life focused on him. I want to be filled with him. I want to be used by him. I'm a Christian. See? But sometimes when somebody says, hey, come to the party, we say, oh, hey, thanks for the invitation, but listen, I got plans for Friday night. I can't come. Sorry about that. And we walk away and say, well, I got out of that one. I got out of that one. I kind of wove my way through that. I didn't. Oh, but you know what? The problem is, if you're not being forthright and honest, Samson was not being forthright nor honest. He's playing around. And if you play around, you know what's going to happen? They're going to invite you next Friday night too. And the one after that as well. But when you tell them you go to Applegate Fellowship, you'll never be invited to a party again. Amen. See, when you say, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm going to worship, or I'm going to the retreat, or I'm just not into that anymore. The Lord has changed my life. What you're doing then is you're not playing games. You're not trying to sort of be cool. You're not messing around. You're saying, this is who I am. This is why I am the way that I am. And you'll save yourself lots of heartache and heartbreak, because if that's not known, at some moment of weakness, you may give in and say, okay, I'll go with you Friday night. And when you're there, you find yourself suddenly tempted, seduced, tripped up. You find yourself uncomfortable. You find yourself giving in. You find yourself backing away from what you know you ought to be in these days. The best thing to do is not follow Samson's example and say, well, I can just kind of play around here with some clever answers, but to say, Delilah, the secret of my strength is my commitment to God. The source of my strength is the Holy Spirit. The secret of my strength is I'm a Nazarite, and I am committed to him. And I will not continue on with you. But that's not what he chooses to do. He's too clever by half. I mean, and you think, what are you thinking about, Samson? And she said to him, after this web situation, this weaving of his hair, how can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me, verse 15 says, three times now. You have not told me wherein thy great strength lies. It came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so his soul was vexed unto death. Women can do that. Do you know that to be so, guys? I mean, she just comes and comes and comes continually. Finally, he told her all that is on his heart. There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me. I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now, he's not saying this to her, I must keep the consecration of my life. I must follow through. in the dedication of my service to my God. You see, he now has broke down. He's given in. He's not saying, this is why I am the way that I am, and thus I will have no more to do with you. But rather, he gives in, knowing what's going to happen next. He knows. I mean, three times he gave her what he was saying was the secret of his strength. And each time he was awakened and he could see that she was, my goodness, doing the very thing that he said ought not to be done. He knows. He understands that he's going to get a haircut here. Then you say, is he that dumb? Well, listen to this. This was in our Oregonian a couple of days ago. Quote from Jade Hansen. I never want to hurt the girls, but my concentration wavers at times. Jade Hansen is a knife thrower with the Cottle and Austin Electric Circus in England after spearing several of his girl helpers, including his former girlfriend, who left him after being hit for the third time with a knife. The latest stand-in left to work on a hula hoop act after she was struck. Now the circus is desperately looking for a replacement target. Now, here's a knife thrower in a circus there in England. He keeps hitting his targets, including his girlfriend, three times as he throws knives. You've seen those acts. And you know, he says, I must admit sometimes my concentration wavers. I don't mean to hurt anybody. So this circus puts out this advertisement, advertising for girls to be this new target as they spin around and this guy throws knives in that direction. And the spokesman, Paul Webb, on the circus's new advertisement says, the person we are looking for will need nerves of steel and more faith than the Pope. So you wonder, after a person's hit by a knife thrower, why they would step in and volunteer or become the next target for this kind of guy. You'd think they would get the point. But they're not the sharpest knife in the drawer, I guess, or something. I don't know. Pardon me, but be that as it may, you say, well, Samson, don't you get the point? I mean, don't you see what's happening? I suggest to you, for your consideration this evening, that Samson did know that he would get his hair cut. But you see, a Nazarite was to do three things specifically: not cut his hair, not touch a dead corpse, and not eat or drink of the grapes, the vineyard, the wine. Samson already touched a dead corpse when he touched the dead lion in the story previously. He was already in a vineyard and was at various Philistine parties. He was where he shouldn't have been, around grapes and at parties where the wine was flowing freely. I suggest to you that he already violated two of the three, and he thought, you know what? I've gotten away with this. I'm not to touch a dead body. I did, and nothing happened to me. I'm not to be around grapes, and I was, and nothing happened to me. So probably, I'm an exception to the rule.
Uh-oh, that doesn't sound like a good conclusion. Samson is probably not an exception to the rule. Do we ever think that? When we seem to get away with sin, do we ever think that we are an exception? Many of us do, but this is not true. Please join us for our next program and find out why. We'll see you then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
We would like to remind you that on the Searchlight website, you can find Pastor John's teachings through the entire Bible. You can listen to the audio or watch the video of any of these teachings from the website at any time for no charge. The Searchlight website address is johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.